Thank you for joining us today on Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our show today is about a new smart listening system that was developed here in Palo Alto. This listening system is called SoundHawk, and their website is soundhawk.com. As you walk around the cafes of Palo Alto today, you'll notice that some people have started wearing listening devices that look very fashionable and are plugged into their ear, and in front of them on a table is a wireless microphone that they use to adjust the level of noise going into their listening device. This is SoundHawk. It is a smart listening system. It is one of a kind. It is backed by a unique blend of breakthrough hearing science and modern wireless and mobile technology. The technology behind SoundHawk was developed by Dr. Rodney Perkins, who is very famous at Stanford because he started the California Ear Institute at Stanford in the 1960s when he was a practicing and pioneering ear surgeon. Since then, Dr. Perkins has started numerous entrepreneurial companies, and he has been very successful, and one of his great successes is a company called ReSound, which is one of the world's largest hearing aid providers. Today, we are very honored and privileged to be joined by Dr. Rodney Perkins, who is one of the leading world experts on ears. He will talk to us about SoundHawk, the idea behind it, and the technology he used to develop it. He will also give us some idea of how to protect our ears from a lot of the sounds that are surrounding us these days. Thank you again for joining us today, and we would like to thank our guest, Dr. Rodney Perkins, very much for his time and for this interview. To start today's interview, Dr. Rodney Perkins will tell us how he got the idea to develop SoundHawk.
Well, it really kind of came from an outgrowth of a company I'd started called ReSound. ReSound was the first company that really brought high-tech signal processing to the hearing aid industry. And I started that in 86. And it actually started out to be a company to develop a surgically implantable hearing device. However, it ended up being an acoustic hearing aid company. And I won't go into the details of how it got to that. But after we did that, I was thinking, how can you also have other things brought into the hearing device? So we had a little project at ReSound, a little joint venture with Motorola for a short while on thinking about that. And then we sold ReSound in 1999. And we had done some work on this, but nothing ever happened with it. So after that, I thought, why not take digital signal processing? And there were a lot more digital signal processors starting to be used in audio devices. So why couldn't you take the same processing that was used in a hearing device and put it in other devices like telephones and televisions and any other audio source and personalize it for that individual's hearing? So the story of SoundHawk is really about the story of personalization of sound to the individual. And how can you do that on a mass scale, thousands simultaneously, and make a consumer product that allows more people to hear clearly with quality of sound, understand speech better, without having to have a hearing test, go see a doctor, go see a hearing professional? And that's the nature of SoundHawk. And the product is the first expression of that. And that is, we call it a smarter way to listen. And it is really a product of the convergence of hearing science, communication, connectivity, wearable tech, fashion, and all of these things sort of rolled into one. And the thing that really makes it possible is the emergence of mobile technology and the destigmatization of wearing things on your ear. You don't think a thing about seeing people walking around with something on their ear now, whereas 15 years ago, you'd say, what is that? So now, the SoundTalk device has an ear module. It has a wireless microphone that you can put on the other individual, picks up their voice, transmits it to the ear, and then you can hear that in a noisy background better than anyone. So it's not necessarily for people with hearing impairment. It's for people who have difficulty hearing in certain adverse listening environments, like noisy restaurants where you're at a distance from the speaker, and those sorts of environments.
Could you help us understand how SoundTalk works? There is a device called the scoop that people would put into their ear. Do we need one scoop or do we need two of those? And how can we personalize the level of sound that's going into the listening device?
The scoop is the ear module that you wear in your ear. You can wear two. We think many people will wear one, but you can wear two. The other key feature is how do you personalize this to an individual without a professional intermediary? And so that's done on a mobile phone, and you can do it on any mobile phone. We now have it in iPhones and can do it on a Samsung phone and others and Google system. The idea is that you go on here with an app that you can download from soundhawk.com, or you can download it from, in this case, the Apple Store. And on here, you hit the app. And
what is the app? What is the symbol for the app?
Well, the symbol is the SoundHawk logo on a blue background. The app itself, here it is. I'm showing you, and this is radio, so I'm hitting the app. The app's coming up with SoundHawk. And now you can go to this screen that has a target on it, an icon. And you move that icon around the screen. And as you do that, you will see this moves. But as it moves, there are different frequency emphasis, compression ratios, and everything. There's a matrix of outputs under here that you move this until it sounds good to you. As you're wearing the scoop and you're listening to environmental sound, or you're listening to music or whatever you want to listen to, and when it sounds good, you let it go. When you let it go, it sends the coefficients of that cell. There are multiple cells under this matrix. Sends those hearing coefficients to the digital signal processor in the scoop and programs it to your personal hearing. And you can do this thousands at a time simultaneously. What it also means is that a person buying this, and there's a very economic incentive because it can be functioning as a hearing device in a certain mode of operation, you could be in the smallest village in Africa, and as long as somebody has a smartphone, a tablet, or a PC, you can personalize it to your hearing without seeing a professional.
Thank you for joining us today on Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our show today is about SoundHawk, a new listening device that was developed here in Palo Alto by Dr. Rodney Perkins, who started the California Ear Institute at Stanford in the 1960s. In this section, Dr. Rodney Perkins will describe the version of SoundHawk that he brought with him to the studio.
What I have here in the studio is a kind of an alpha version of it. We have beta versions coming in right now. There are a few here. We're going to continue to do those.
Can people buy SoundHawk now online?
Yes, you can buy it on the website, which is soundhawk.com. You can go on, you can find out all about it. There's a lot of things on hearing and everything on it.
Who manufactures SoundHawk?
It's manufactured in Taiwan by Foxconn, who makes a lot of the Apple phones and the Apple products. They found it very intriguing. We have a very good status with them as a manufacturer. And they also liked it so much they made an investment in SoundHawk.
SoundHawk has very attractive and elegant colors, which is very unusual in ear devices. How did you manage to choose something so elegant?
With the colors, we have four colors. We have several, and I'll describe them in a moment. But the idea here is to introduce fashion and personal statement into the wearable tech. And we think the ear is a very strong wearable tech port to the body. So we have four colors. We have sand, we have graphite, which is a kind of a gray, obviously, slate blue, and Bordeaux. The first two colors we're introducing is sand and graphite, and later the others will come. But we're doing that because we think, as in eyewear, there's a lot of fashion to wearing things around your face and your head. And that I bet you cannot name a major designer that doesn't have their name on a line of eyewear. And so we're introducing that. And we had the colors done by a famous Italian colorist who also did the Apple iPod colors. And we worked through kind of the general genre of what we wanted, and then she upgraded that and perfected it.
Could you describe SoundHawk's case that carries the scoop and the microphone?
And it comes in a lovely case. The product has three parts. The scoop, which is the ear module. It has the wireless microphone. Then those two reside in the third piece, which is the carrying case. And the carrying case is not only a carrying case, but it is also a charger. You don't charge the scoop and the wireless mic. You charge the case. You put the scoop and the wireless mic in the case, and it will recharge them two full cycles. So many people who have difficulty in noisy backgrounds and other backgrounds do not want a device all the time. They want it in situationally. So you can put your scoop or your wireless mic back in, and it's recharging in your pocket. And then you only have to charge the case every few days.
Would you classify SoundHawk as a new type of hearing aid?
Well, this device is not a classic hearing aid. If you have a really serious ear problem or ear disease, you should see a hearing health professional, an ENT doctor or an audiologist or somebody such as that. We think that this will become very popular with people who have difficulty hearing in certain situations, but perhaps don't quite need a hearing aid. The microphone, for instance, you can put it, just lay it in front of your TV, and you can turn the TV down. Many people who have difficulty hearing will turn the TV up, and it drives everybody else out of the room, or it's uncomfortable for them, so you can use it for that. We think it will become very popular, and I think in the future you will find people wearing ear devices just like you do glasses. It is another sensory input, both for pleasure, quality of living, for communication, for many things. And so I think, yes, it will. I think we'll continue to see things worn around the ear, on the ear, for multiple functions.
Before leaving the topic of SoundHawk, Dr. Perkins will tell us how he got the idea of SoundHawk developed into a fashionable wearable device.
Well, the idea, I think, was the primary idea, which I spoke about first, of seeing the convergence of mobility, communication, hearing science, wearable tech, and then also fashion introduced into that. And you just, as anyone does who starts something, you see these things and you start to make each of them a reality, integrate them, find the right team to put the idea together, the right engineers to put it together, the right management and marketing talent to position this, in the right way. It's like any startup enterprise. You start with the idea. You may not know all the answers, but you get in and you knock them off one by one and keep your eye on the vision and make it happen.
How long did it take to develop SoundHog from an idea into a final and marketable product?
The original idea for this is a decade old or more. But it wasn't that it would take more than that to develop it. The timing wasn't exactly right. The predecessor idea of this was in a Bluetooth earpiece, and then the combination we saw many years ago, but the timing wasn't right. You really needed to have the population very used to millions or billions of people walking around with something on their ear before this idea would be accepted, I think.
Is SoundHog's ear module easy to put in one's ear and leave there securely, or can it easily fall?
Well, you can run with this in your ear, and you won't shake it out. It's very stable and very comfortable in your ear.
Give us an idea of how the wireless microphone in SoundHog helps people select different things to listen to.
You can listen to your phone. You can listen to stream music. You can listen to the environmental sounds around you. You can listen to any sound picked up by the wireless microphone. So you have a multiplicity of things you can listen to. And if you think about it, we are listening to more different audio sources than we ever have. You go back a couple hundred years, the main audio source you wanted to hear was another human being or some sort of danger signal. Then you had multiple things added. You had phonographs, you had telephone, you had television, MP3 players, mobile phones, home stereo systems. We are a society that listens to multiple audio sources. And so a device that helps you facilitate that in a seamless way and a pleasant way is something that we thought very important.
Suppose somebody who has SoundHog goes to a concert and the music is very loud. Can we use SoundHog to filter out the loud music?
Well, if it's already louder than you want it.
So it will not help reduce the loud sound in a concert.
It isn't designed for that. However, we will have some features in it that may help you avoid a lot of noise exposure. It's in development now, but it'll come in a later model.
Do you think the sound level in many rock concerts is quite high?
Concerts are very damaging to hearing in many people. And it's interesting that loud concerts are not regulated at all, and they exceed the OSHA standards for protecting your hearing excessively.
Thank you for joining us today on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. We are privileged that our guest today is Dr. Rodney Perkins, a pioneering ear surgeon in the 1960s, the founder of the California Ear Institute at Stanford, and he is also one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the Bay Area, and one of his leading companies that we just talked about is SoundHog. One of his other companies that is very successful is ReSound. In this section of the interview, Dr. Rodney Perkins will discuss some of the OSHA standards for hearing and what we can do to protect our hearing.
Occupational health standards. In industry, you should not be exposed to noise above a certain level, because noise above a certain level is damaging to your hearing. Hearing difficulty or hearing impairment occurs due to two things. One, changes in the inner ear due to aging and other growing older factors, and also noise exposure. And noise exposure above a certain level damages the ear, and it's cumulative. You can get a little that year, a little the next year, and the next year. And that's why you see people as they get older always have a hearing impairment, and because it's an accumulated effect of those two factors.
When do you think we will find rock concerts following OSHA's sound level recommendations?
A very long time away, I would imagine, because people like the feeling of being there and excitement and the other entertainment factors. But it has been shown that you can get hearing impairment from rock concerts.
What do you think are some of the things that people can do to help protect their hearing today?
By being aware of excessive noise, heavy machinery, gunfire, excessive amplification of sound, wearing earbuds and headsets that have too much gain in them, and also the duration of noise exposure. There's a level you can get a hearing impairment from a shotgun blast near your ear, or you can get a hearing impairment from a moderately excessive level of noise, listening to it for long periods of time. So I would say an awareness. Do not stay in a noisy environment a long time. If you are in a noisy environment, even walk out of it for 10 minutes or so and go back. It gives you some help.
How does hearing loss happen, and does it happen in the same way for men and for women?
It occurs rapidly if the noise is excessive. It can occur in one moment. On the other hand, that's not typical. It's usually a exposure to a higher level of noise over a long period of time. You usually don't notice that when you're young, even though it's occurring. When I was in practice and seeing patients, I rarely saw a teenager that did not already have a little high-frequency drop in hearing, which is the first signal you see. So it occurs over years. Usually the accumulation effect does not interfere with your daily understanding of speech or difficulty understanding of speech until you're probably in your 50s. And then it becomes apparent. And the average man who seeks some solution for hearing difficulties does so between 55 and 60. Of course, that depends on how much noise exposure they've had. Generally speaking, women have the same effect about a decade later. It is thought that that may well be due to the fact that women tend to have less noise exposure than men. They don't shoot as many guns, they don't ride motorcycles as much, they are not in heavy industry and construction and other things where there is noise exposure. And so it's about a decade later for women.
How do people in the construction business protect their ears?
Well, the OSHA government laws are that around noise in industry, you should wear earplugs or ear protection. That is much better than it used to be, but everybody really doesn't do that. And a lot of men think it's kind of macho not to do that or pay attention to it, I think, and that's to their deficit.
How about the veterans of World War II? Did they protect their ears in any specific way at that time?
They had a lot of hearing impairment. People were around artillery, machine guns, aircraft. You take World War II pilots, they probably had more hearing impairment in their left ear than their right, particularly in two-seat co-pilot, because the pilot's left ear was exposed to these B-29 engines out on the left wing. So typically pilots of that era had more hearing impairment in their left ear than they did in their right. And then even now in the recent wars in the Middle East, hearing impairment is one of the biggest health factors that you see that has been affected.
Do you think the Army does a better job protecting the ears of the soldiers today?
Yes, I think there have. There's much more awareness of it. There's attempts to make things used in the military not have the effect to try to protect your ears, which in World War II there was very little, if any.
In the final few minutes of our interview with Dr. Rodney Perkins, who is a leading expert on hearing, he will discuss stem cell research on hearing.
Well, there's a lot of work being done on that, and particularly here at Stanford, at the ENT department at Stanford. They have a very robust program in that, led by one of the world leaders in stem cell research for hearing.
Do you think that Dr. Stefan Heller's group at Stanford will have a cure for hearing loss using stem cells soon?
I think that that's in its very early stages. It's a very long-term development. I don't think that it's going to happen from a practical standpoint for a number of years. It's not as simple as growing a stem cell and turning it into a inner ear sensory nerve cell, because how do you get it there? You don't just take stem cells and put it from a petri dish and put them in a glass of orange juice and drink them. You have to get them there. They have to connect right. Do they, or how do you stimulate the cells adjacent to the neural ending cells, the support cells, maybe to try to get them to convert? I'm not an expert on that at all, but I think it's promising, but it's many years out.
Why do you think research on stem cells for the heart is producing quick results as opposed to stem cell research on the ears?
Well, as I said, I'm not an expert on stem cells either in the heart or in the ear. But I think in the heart, they're trying to put the stem cells into the muscle to try to recreate cardiac muscle cells that have been damaged by lack of blood supply. It's probably an easier problem, an easier issue, to find a way to get those cells into the heart muscle generally than it would to be to get them into the right position in the inner ear. That's if you're trying to sort of transplant or put those cells where they will generate new cells. It seems to me a more complex problem.
You've been listening to Modern Tech News on KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Thank you again for joining us today, and we would like to thank our guest, Dr. Rodney Perkins, very much for his time and for this interview. If you would like a copy of today's interview, please download it from our website, moderntechnews.com. That's moderntechnews.com, and please follow the link to Biology.